Dennis Tech, well, thanks so much for coming down today, man.
Thanks for having us.
It's great, great. And Art Godoy and Steve Godoy, you've played with them for a long time, right?
Long time, yeah.
They're your U.S. Band, I guess? Or
yeah, we've been friends for close to 20 years, and I've guested with their various lineups, and they've been my U.S. touring band for about 15 years.
Okay, and the song you ended with, What It's For, they play on that, on the original version?
Yeah, that's from an album we did called The Golden Breed.
Okay, so it was not...
And that's the same lineup that you heard today.
Okay, and then we heard Hand of Law, of course, from Radio Birdman. Working Man's Shoes, that is from... that's an early solo one from you, right? Or...
Yeah, that was from an EP that I did with Jim Dixon, Kent Steedman, and Nick Reith, Dennis Tech Group.
Okay, and then we heard Big Accumulator, which is D-Production, and... To Pam Chloride, where does that originate from?
That's a Golden Breed song.
That's
a
Golden Breed also? Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. Excellent. And so there's a new, this is new? Or
yeah, that's new. That's just out.
The Citadel Years, Dennis Tech, covering, I guess, most of your non, except for Powertrain, right? Most of the non-Birdman material?
Well, the stuff I did on Universal, actually it wasn't Universal, it was Polydor then. The first three solo albums are not represented on that because they wouldn't license the tracks to me.
Okay.
But it's everything after that. So that starts...
95, maybe?
96.
96 till recently? Or?
Yeah.
Wow, excellent. Well, sounded great today. It's
thank you.
And the shows, again, are Friday at the Bell House in Brooklyn, which is tomorrow.
Yep.
Saturday at Maxwell's, and Sunday in Philly. Is that an afternoon show? And where's it called?
It's a matinee show, 3 p.m. start. And that's at a place called Kung Fu Necktie.
Well, so what's Keith Strang of the Fleshtones will be guesting with you.
Yeah, yeah, he's going to be hanging out with us, and he's going to get up with us and do a few songs.
Wow, and I guess have you known the Fleshtones for a while? Have you?
Well, I've known of them ever since the beginning.
Right, but I mean, as far as like playing with them, have you done shows with them in the past?
Never.
Or, wow, just emailed them and said, do you want to play? Or
well, it's mutual. Friend Ann. I met him through Ann.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Wow. So Keith Strang will be there. And anything just felt like coming out to the East Coast or what was anything or to promote the new double CD or what?
Yeah. Yeah. Just I wanted to come out here anyway.
Okay.
And, you know, for personal and family reasons and such. And so put gigs together.
Are you living in Montana these days or Australia? I mean, it's hard to, I can't keep up with your exploits.
No, I can't keep up with myself these days anymore. But I still have a little trailer in Montana where I keep a lot of my stuff, some amps, guitars, paintings.
Wow.
Some firearms. And I go there, but I'm not working there anymore.
Okay.
And,
you were working in an emergency room there recently, right?
Yeah, I was, yeah.
For like the last... I don't know.
How on and off forever.
On and off forever.
Yeah. So I guess I'm based in Sydney now.
Okay.
If there is a base.
Wow. So after these shows, you'll be heading back to Australia? Or?
Yes.
Wow. Now, you, before Radio Birdman, I was, you know, just reading up. You went there, I guess your father went there for work or something when you were a kid?
Yeah. When I was 14, 1967.
Right. Okay.
My dad was a professor at the University of Michigan.
Okay.
I grew up in Ann Arbor. And, we went there for 1 year for a sabbatical year for my dad.
Okay.
And then I loved it there. And then so when I was 19, I went back on my own and stayed there.
You went for medical school or you just went to...
I started medical school when I was already there.
Okay. But you were going back regardless because you liked it so much. What was it about? Just like the weather or just the people you met?
Yeah, liked the people, made some friends, liked the beach. And it was as far away from home as possible.
Right, that's pretty much it.
I mean, you know, looking back on it, Ann Arbor's a pretty decent place to grow up. I mean,
right.
I can't complain about
right
background in Ann Arbor, Michigan, but especially in the late 60s. But, you know, you always want to go and see, find a new vista.
Right. And Radio Birdman formed soon after you moved there, or like you went. Did you know Rob from school? Rob Younger?
No, I didn't. I had not met Rob, but I knew a guy named Chris Jones and Steve Jones, and they I got a band together with them when I first got there, and it ended up being called TV Jones, and it did a couple of recordings.
Okay,
and then Radio Birdman was the next thing after that.
All right. And then
I met Rob. He was like-minded. And there weren't very many like-minded people there at that time.
Right, right.
You know, I was in that sort of post-hippie electric blues boogie phase of
right.
like 1973.
Right.
And Rob was the only guy I met there that knew about the stuff I knew about. And, you know, he was into the Velvet Underground, and he had already picked up on the New York Dolls and things like that. And
right.
And he knew about the Stooges and some of the Ann Arbor bands. And
wow.
So he was in a band called The Rats. And so The Rats and T.V. Jones did gigs together. And then when the bands broke up, we reformed as Radio Birdman.
Right. And so we were talking before off air about the demise, you know, 78. So it was a 78 or 77? 78.
78, yeah.
Because you were possibly getting ready to come to the U.S., right, with some – but the Sire record was out.
Yeah, we were on Sire, and our album had just been licensed to Sire, and we were on tour in the UK, and we were going to go the second half of the year tour America with the Ramones, and it didn't happen because Sire lost its distribution and had to retrench. They owed a lot of money, and so they dropped everybody off the label except their very top money-making bands. And so we were on tour with the Flaming Groovies, and both bands got dropped at the same time in the middle of the tour, and so we were sort of left high and dry, you know, without support, and it led to us actually breaking up rather than going on to tour with the Ramones. And I've always thought that we might have had a different trajectory if we'd actually done that.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, the tensions maybe came from the uncertainty and the lack of funds. I mean, who knows what would have happened, right? Maybe if you could have gotten to the U.S., opening for the Ramones. I mean, because up until that point, I mean, you had recorded the second album, right? I mean, things were good with everybody until then? Or?
Yeah, we recorded the second album on Sire's ticket, but it was like they forgot to cross that off, and so we just showed up and recorded anyway at Rockfield. And but then, of course, we didn't have any outlet for it, and had a hard time getting the tapes. I actually saved a safety copy of it, which is what we ended up releasing.
Oh wow!
We're broke. We're over there. How are we going to get back to Australia? And we were having some personal problems in the band, too. I mean, it wasn't just Sire.
Right, right. But that didn't help.
It didn't help. If we'd been successful, we probably could have glossed over those differences.
Right, right. Or you'd have less time to think about them because you'd be too busy touring or doing something.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're talking with Dennis Tech in town for a couple shows this weekend, three shows. So, backtracking a little bit, Radio Birdman, before Birdman formed, you in Michigan, you had you befriended like the Stooges and some of the other musicians, right? At least you were aware of them, right? You had gone to see them.
Yeah, I was going to see them.
Scott Morgan, who I know you're close with, but did you not become friends with those guys until later?
Not until later on when I had my own band, because Scott Morgan was 3 years ahead of me in high school, and Iggy and Ron were 5 years ahead of me.
Okay.
So I knew about them, and
right.
and I was going to the shows, but I did not know them personally until mid-70s.
Oh, okay. So now, did you ever actually play in the Sonics Rendezvous Band? Were you a member? Or did you just...
I wasn't a regular member, but I used to guest spot with them a lot. And
okay.
Because especially on City Slang, Fred Smith would want to have more guitars.
Right, right.
There's 12 of them on the recording.
Right.
And
what did Powertrain get up to, about four on your...
We got up to four, yeah.
Right.
So I actually did a Rendezvous Band reunion.
Oh, wow.
In the guitar spot.
Wow. When was that? Like
that was like 98 or so.
Wow.
In Detroit. And there was a recording of that.
Wow. How was that?
Good.
Well, what's the time frame of the
song? I mean, how can you ever fill those shoes?
But yeah. Right, right, right.
The idea is you don't try. You just get up there and play the songs and be yourself.
Right, and plus you're playing, you know, you got Scott and both Scotts.
Yeah, Scotty Ashton and Morgan, right. And Gary Rasmussen.
Right. So now this was, going back to the Sonics Rendezvous Band, that was post Birdman, you came home. You were in Michigan, or just simultaneously?
I used to simultaneously. Oh, okay. Yeah, I used to go back to Michigan for holidays and such. And
okay,
visit my parents, and when I was in town, if Sonics were playing, I would go.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was reading that, I was like, wasn't sure, but it's kind of like now where you don't really have the base, right? You're all over.
Right.
You were all over. You know, speaking of Ron Ashton, you recently, was it this year? Was that a tribute show to him that you played with those guys? Well, you could talk about that. It was
April.
It was April of this year. Okay.
And it was at the Michigan Theater in Ann Arbor. And the idea of it was to launch the Ron Ashton Foundation, which is a charitable foundation to benefit animals.
Okay.
It's a animal protection thing. And sort of like the Humane Society. It funnels money into the Humane Society, among other things. But and that's run by Ron's sister, Kathy.
Okay.
And because Ron was into that. I mean, he was really into animal protection. And we, so the Stooges showed up, and I did a set with them in the guitar spot, and we did stuff from the first two albums.
Oh, nice.
And then the current lineup of the Stooges, which is the Raw Power lineup.
Right.
They did the Raw Power set.
Right.
And then at the end, we all got together, and I got up with James, and we did No Fun at the end.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. That must have been...
And Henry Rollins was there. He sang one song and gave a really nice speech. I think it was completely off the cuff, too.
Wow.
20 minutes. Amazing.
Wow.
The guy can talk.
Yeah, that's. I think that's been established. Wow. Well, that sounds like it was really a great event. Now, had Ron and James Williamson, had they kind of patched things up? Because I know I always hear that, like, the way that the Stooges ended, you know, that he had a move and then the band ended. But, you know, James and Iggy, you know, kept working, like, the Kill City stuff. I mean, had that ever, like, rift ever been smoothed over?
No.
It wasn't. Yeah, so there wouldn't have been this two guitar lineup, you don't think, right?
Would have never happened.
Wow.
No.
Wow. I just wasn't sure about that. Because the way, like, James kind of came out of, I wasn't sure if he had been hanging around.
Well, they knew each other forever because they were in the Chosen Few and
right. Things
like that way back.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was, I think Ron always had some bitterness about the way that all that was handled.
Yeah.
When Iggy and James went to England and tried to form a new Iggy and the Stooges without the brothers.
Right.
And then when they couldn't, then they got on the phone and called them up and said, hey, you know, can you guys come over? And that was like as a last resort after they'd tried everybody else.
Right.
And then Ron, of course, wasn't writing anymore. He couldn't, all the writing was Pop Williamson.
Right.
And, you know, Ron's a fantastic bass player.
Right.
And he didn't have a problem playing bass, but I think it was being cut out of the writing that really bugged him.
Right, right.
And there was a lot of personal things going on, too.
Right, yeah. Well, I was glad, like, even before the Stooges reunion, like, we were talking about, like, he was playing with you and Power Train, that 2002 tour he had done the year before. He had done the tour with Mike Wadd and Jay Maskus, and it was, then, of course, the Stooges reunion happened, so it was great to see him get some belated, you know, that he could still enjoy it while he was still here. It was there were some great shows. I mean, I must have seen them three times with Maskus and about four or five times with the Stooges, and it was just phenomenal each time.
It was fantastic seeing, you know, the last 5 years of his life being successful.
Yeah.
And, you know, and having enough money, you know, and you know, being able to do the stuff he wanted to do. I mean, Ron was always the guy, kind of guy that would give you, you know, like if he had $5, he would buy you a drink with it.
Right.
But he never got rewarded for, you know, his contribution to the world until the last 5 years of his life.
Yeah. Well, it was. I mean, I never knew him, but it was just a huge fan, and it was great to see him up there playing and playing really great. It was just phenomenal shows. Speaking of belated recognition, you know, it seems, you know, same Radio Birdman. I mean, we talked about the end, about how it kind of ended prematurely and not well, but. You know, it seemed, you know, as the years went on, you know, people looked back and, you know, you guys got the props and then, you know, a couple of reunion tours. I mean, how do you look back on that and about how your place with that band, like in the big picture? It seems like you guys are getting, I mean, in Australia, but at least here, at least in the U.S., it seemed like, you know, because the belated, you know, kind of swell of, you know, influence and
Yeah, well, if you die before somebody ever gets a chance to see you, I mean, that's really good for your reputation. And then you wait 15 years and it's like become this weird legend or something. But and that was a challenge coming here to play, not knowing, you know, how it was going to be received, because people had this preconception of it that really had nothing to do with reality.
Right, right.
Because no one had ever seen us. And the band live is quite different to the recordings.
Right.
And but it worked out great. You know, we had big crowds, and people that came seemed to think they got their money's worth.
How did that come about, the 2006 album? Because, I mean, you've worked with Rob in various settings, you know, on and off over the years, whether it's Deep Production or various other, you know, New Race, right? It was right after.
Yeah.
Or a few years after Birdman. I mean, and various other albums you guys will play on each other's things or guest. I mean, so how did it become Radio Birdman and doing an album in 06?
Well, it was we actually got back together again in 96. Because Ken West offered us a truckload of money to play at the Big Day Out.
Oh, okay.
And it was fine.
Couldn't pass it up. Yeah.
Even the guys that were really still bitter and unhappy couldn't pass that up. So we got back together and said, okay, so we're older now. You know, let's try to manage things better rather than, you know,
be
idiots. And,
right.
And so we played around Australia a few times and went to Europe a few times. And then I said I didn't want to do it anymore unless we had new material, because I didn't just want to be, you know, doing a back catalog.
Right.
I didn't want to be a tribute band to myself.
Right. How many shows would you say that was, like 96? Just a handful?
Oh, 96.
Was a full tour of Australia? Or?
96 probably, yeah, full tour of Australia. But then in 97, 98, 2000, much more. And around Europe a few times. And.
Oh, right, Europe, too. Okay.
And Warwick left. We got Jim Dixon in on bass. And then the idea was, I don't want to do this anymore unless we have a new album.
Right.
All new songs. So
10 years later, you get the album together.
Yeah.
You sat down and said, okay, now we're going to do the album, or you guys had been writing and said, well, we'll get it together eventually. Like the time frame of Zeno Beach... Was it just?
It was about 2 years.
Okay,
getting it together,
right,
and pulling input in from everybody. You know, Pip wrote some songs, and Chris Mazowak wrote some songs.
Right,
Rob wrote a few. You know, it was like in the old days on this.
Right,
I had to write everything.
Right, right.
But now the other guys were putting input in and reconciling all that and making it still sound like Radio Birdman was a bit of a challenge.
Right. Well, you pulled it off.
We got there.
Excellent album,
yeah.
And you got a U.S. release with it, with from Yep Rock. So,
that's right.
So that was worked out too.
Very happy with that, but you know, we were a little bit unfortunate in that right about the time that album came out was when people stopped buying albums.
Right.
You know, we were like right at the bottom of the precipice there.
Right. Right.
And like about a year too late, but anyway, at least the people that did get it, I think they liked it.
Yeah, I got a good reception. It seemed everybody, your old fans and, you know, people who were new to the band. It seemed to have a good
Yeah, as long as they listened to it more than once, you know, it's like the first time through, well, that doesn't really sound like those guys. But if you listen a few times, it grows on you.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Now, where does it stand? You did the tour. You came a long tour, I mean, over a year, right? A year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah, we played in the last year that we played was 07, and we played 80 shows,
wow,
roughly, and they put us in the Australian Music Hall of Fame.
Oh, wow, nice. Congratulations. Year.
Thank you. I think we're the first band musician to be put in the Australian Music Hall of Fame that never had a hit.
So, well, there you go.
So, that's what, you know, pretty good.
Yeah. So, where did you guys leave it after 07? Is it just kind of take a break or just.
No, we said that's it.
Oh,
hang it up.
Yep, go out on a positive note.
Yeah.
That's good. Unless the Big Day Out.
It wasn't exactly a positive note, but.
Before it completely falls apart or partially falls apart. Wow. Well, at least you have to play in the U.S.
The one good thing was that the band was, you know, still at full power at the time that it quit.
Okay.
So, you know, there was no drop in the energy level and no disappointing shows. So,
right. Well, so that's good. And now what's going on these days? You have the label with Ron Sanchez of Donovan's Brain, right?
Yeah. Career Records.
Career Records, which is, I guess, started to put out yours and his own projects, right?
Yeah.
And it branched out into a couple other things, right?
Yeah. We've released Penny Eichinger and Roy Loney and The Plaintiffs and a few other things. And yeah, it's doing good. It's breaking even anyway, you know, so
nice.
That's about as good as you can ever expect.
Nice. Now, Donovan's Brain is basically a studio project, right? It's not really...
Yeah, it's really Ron Sanchez.
Yeah, it's Ron, yeah.
And it's Ron and whoever he can get to play on the records.
He gets a lot of people to play on him, though.
It's really good people, yeah.
I mean, it's always great to look at those records and see who's on it, but...
In fact, I just played on a new Brain song 3 days ago.
Wow, wow.
And I've been recording in his studio with some new solo tracks of my own with Rick Parnell, the drummer from Spinal Tap.
Wow.
Amazing drummer.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, before he was in Spinal Tap, he was in Atomic Rooster, and he was in Blue Cheer.
Wow.
And he was in The Deviants, and he was in Wayne's Band after Brock Avery left.
Wow. And, Wayne Kramer, you referencing, yeah. Right? Yeah.
So he's done a lot, but he's the quintessential British rock drummer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
He is Spinal Tap.
Yeah. So did he was he in Montana or did you go out to?
Yeah, we found him in Montana.
Oh, he was there? He was there living?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he was just there living and you know, not doing anything. And so, yeah, you want to play some sessions?
Yeah. Wow. Well, so is this going to be like Dennis Tech Group, or you're not sure what it's going to be released as, or?
It'll be Dennis Tech something or other.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I was trying to keep track with like all the you know, names over the years, you know, the different projects, which I guess is good because it seems like you're going to mix and match like in your shows this weekend because you played a couple deep production things or solo things and Birdman things.
Yeah.
I mean, is it as hard to decide when you have so much stuff to choose from, like what you're playing or just?
Well, this being a three piece.
All that kind of limits the keyboard stuff is out.
You're looking at it, you know, in a certain way. What can I play and sing at the same time?
Right.
That doesn't really need a second guitar or a second or a keyboard or something.
Right.
So that informs the choice of material quite a bit.
Right. And plus, you guys have done a lot of studio stuff, so I guess you know that stuff probably comes easier. Or
yeah, yeah.
Or you're fired up to play it because you know when you're out there.
Sure.
Well, excellent. Well, and the shows again are Maxwell's. I should go in order. Tomorrow night, Friday in Brooklyn, at the Bell House with Ivan Julian opening and Keith Strang guesting and sitting in your set. Saturday night, same lineup at Maxwell's, and Sunday afternoon at Kung Fu Necktie in Philadelphia.
That's right.
So should be great. And thanks so much again, Dennis, for coming out. I know it's early, but
that's all right.
I appreciate you coming out and. You know, and playing a few songs for us. It sounded really great. And, you know, so you're heading back to Australia after this weekend, and then who knows? Are you going to play any shows down there?
Or? Yeah, I'm going to go to France for a couple of weeks next week, and then back to Australia, yeah, straight away. And then I've got some shows booked with Pip Hoyle, actually, the keyboard guy from Birdman.
Oh, cool.
We're going to play some shows November, December.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
And like I was telling Diane, we've got this huge deluxe box set coming out.
Yeah, so it's cause, hey, thanks for not turning us in for the bootlegs that you brought in.
Right. I'm used to it. There's been way more bootlegs sold than authentic ones sold over the years.
Well,
the last time I checked the bootleg site, there was like 35 of them on there you could buy. But now at least we get to present some of that archived material in a high fidelity format.
So now what's it's going to be 8 CDs and 1 DVD?
Yeah.
And what, so what, it's going to be all live stuff or outtakes you have?
The whole thing started early last year when we got a call from our manager John got a call from Albert Studios, which is the place where Vanda and Young were producers.
Oh yeah, sure. Easy Beats, AC/DC.
And where AC/DC started. And we had never recorded there, but they said, we've got these boxes of tape in our archive room. We're cleaning out all of the old stuff, and we think they're yours. Do you want to come and see? And do you want them? You know, and we said, well, let's come and see what they are. So John and I went out there together, and there was 22 boxes of 2-inch 24-track tape that we had no idea existed from 76, 77.
Wow.
All studio material.
Wow.
And then there was one complete live concert that was recorded on 16-track mobile.
Wow.
And all the tapes were in good shape, so we baked them and transferred them, and then I spent a month sorting through them and
deciding
good selections and then mixing.
Wow.
So it'll be like the first album will be there remastered, and then it'll be the alternative first album.
Right, is it different mixes or different takes or both?
It'll be mostly different takes.
Oh, wow.
Different mixes is too close, so we use different takes and then outtakes and then songs that were never presented before.
Right. Did Birdman, did you guys do demos, or you kind of just went in and cut the songs?
No, they were takes that were not finished because we thought there was a better drum track or something.
Okay. Wow.
And a lot of those outtakes have a rough vocal from Rob on them, which was meant to be a guide vocal.
Right.
And then he never went back and did a finished, so-called finished vocal.
right.
But when I went back and listened to those guide vocals, they were killer.
Wow.
And I think some of them were significantly better than what was on the album.
Wow.
Wait, man, you can expect that because it was off the cuff. He didn't care.
Right, you're not overthinking it or worrying about it. It's just, because I'm going to change this later, so.
He'll hate it, but, but everyone else will love it.
But it's too late. It's coming out. I mean, did he come in and go over some of the stuff with you, or basically you're producing the whole thing?
No, he wanted nothing to do with it.
Wow.
He said, I am divorcing myself from this. I don't want anything to do with it.
He said, do whatever you want.
There's a reason those were outtakes. And,
wow.
You know, and he wanted to have plausible deniability with his friends.
This is the part that makes sure that there's not another reunion, right? This is put it all out there. So he's totally turned off.
Be sure to send me the check.
Oh, right. Wow, so there's going to be, so then the same thing for the second album. There's a lot of
for the box set only covers 74 through 78.
Okay.
Nothing later. Right. So it'll have that one complete live concert on it. And then it'll have the alternative EP album, Radio Birdman,
Radios Appear,
Living Eyes.
Right.
The alternatives of those.
Wow. Were you, was there some stuff that you had completely forgot or still don't remember?
Like? Oh, yeah. there's songs on there, and we did that, you know?
Wow. Was there any songs
there's like five versions or six versions of Love Kills, one of them completely acoustic.
Wow.
Which, man, that's good. We should have put that on the album.
Were you inspired by the Funhouse box, the Stooges? I love listening to that, just hearing like them like take and take, playing. Like, I mean, that was completely live, but, you know, it's...
Well, yeah. Well, ours is not going to be as repetitive or tedious as that.
Right.
But I did like listening to that. It was very interesting.
Yeah.
From a technical standpoint.
Sure,
but,
sure.
But, you know, you can only listen to it so much.
Right. But, wow, that's, now who's putting this out? The
We're putting it out ourselves.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So it'll be out in...
Cranks on Records. Yeah.
This fall or...
Yeah, we're aiming for October.
Wow. Got to check my import stores if there's any left. I got to get that.
I know John is working really hard. It's going to have a 64-page book in it with unseen photos and stuff. So it's going to have some cool stuff.
So what's going to be on the DVD?
Is there film footage and, you know.
Did you have to, like, sync TV it up film. To live tracks? Or no, they were, like, performances? Like
film? No, they're full performances.
Not, okay.
Yeah, nothing synced up.
Well, because sometimes, like, you have a good video, but there's no... Yeah. Like audio or something, but not that.
Oh. Actually, I wanted to do some of that on some of it, but John said, we can't afford it.
So there you go. Wow, so the Radio Birdman box set, excellent. That sounds great.
Yeah, so we're proceeding along our do-it-yourself path that we've always sort of followed.
Yeah. Wow, excellent. And again, Dennis Tech will be playing Friday, Brooklyn at the Bell House, Saturday at Maxwell's in Hoboken, New Jersey, and Sunday and matinee show at the Kung Fu Necktie in Philadelphia.
Yeah, with Ivan Julian from Richard Hell's band, Richard Hell and the Foydoids, the one of the most classic guitar riffs of all time, the intro riff to Blank Generation.
Oh, yeah.
The author of that, you know, for that alone, the guy deserves a huge place in the history books.
Yeah.
And he's great now. His new album, Naked Flame, is great.
Yeah, he was here 2 weeks ago, played a lot of songs from it, so sounding really great. Have you played with him before?
No.
Have you guys know, so this is great. You're getting all your guitar heroes together here for this Keith Strang and Ivan Julian. And
Keith's renting us his van.
Oh, nice.
To, you know, cart our stuff around and so I said, yeah, I think you might want to play a couple of songs.
Yeah, why don't you come with the van?
And he goes, yeah, okay. So
nice.
So he's going to jump up and play a couple of the Birdman tunes with us.
Nice. Nice. Well, excellent. And, well, again, thanks so much, Dennis, for coming out today.
Thanks, Joe.
You know, everyone who got out to the shows. Oh, you know what? I got the tickets to give away for Maxwell's. We have one pair. Someone already gave away the Bell House one. Any good trivia question we can ask, or should we just give them away? We'll just give them away.
Yeah.
So for Dennis Tech and Ivan Julian, Saturday at Maxwell's, two pairs. And please make sure you haven't won in the last 30 days. Give someone else a chance. And there's some ball hogs who always call up, you know. I mean, we're glad that they're listening all the time, but the clubs are like, you know, I see the same name.
Maybe there's only like three people out there. And
that's what we're afraid of, yeah. All right, so 201-200-9368, 201-200-9368 for the Dennis Tech Ivan Julian tickets. And again, Dennis, thanks a lot. Thanks to Diane for engineering. It was a blast.
Diane did great.
Yeah.
Thanks, excellent. Diane.
Okay. All right, so Dennis Tech again. So go see the show. So let's hear some Radio Birdman, and I'll check the phone. All right, thanks.